Few verses of letter to Galatians, verses 1 to 5. Galatians chapter 6, 1 to 5. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. We won't get to be able to deal with this entire text this morning, so if you're expecting that, you're going to go home frustrated. So I want to tell you what I'm choosing one particular phrase out of this passage to zero in on, and it's verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what I want to zero in, but I had to give you the whole context as we approach it. But the reason for this sermon is I hope that by the end of our time together, you'll be convinced that you need to be in a small group. That's my goal. That's my prayer, is that in some small group, you will find your way to land. That's why United Nations is set up back here. At the end of the service, we want you to have an opportunity to go and see what's available, where they are, and when they meet, and then offer you an opportunity to begin to think and pray about which one you might be involved in. So that's where I'm going. That's what I'm heading into. I'm praying into that. And I would like for you to, if you would, just to join with me again as we ask the Lord particularly about some of these things. So let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you so much for all of the leaders who are willing to open up homes and pour out their lives and dedicate time to leading and teaching small groups. And Lord, I pray that you would find in your heart the grace that would be poured out upon us so that every person would have opportunity to land somewhere in a small group that would help them grow and thrive and learn more about you and fall more deeply in love with you. Let every person in this room have that opportunity to sit with a group of people who are passionate about you and your name and missions, as we've just prayed, and want to fulfill the commands that you have given us. So God, bring every one of us into a place of that kind of community. And I ask that you would please move our hearts, even if there are people here who don't normally attend this church, yet when they go home, I pray they would seek out a small group where they might land and where home is. But Lord, I ask for your help. I pray that you would put your words in my mouth. Let everything that I would say be honoring to you and keep me from saying anything that would cause anyone to stumble. So let your grace rest upon all that is done and said, and may your spirit move accordingly in our hearts. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I just pray that because as we turn to look at small groups, you might be wondering why small groups? And there's a couple of reasons. First of all, it's the beginning of a ministry year. It's the time when small groups begin again, and now's just the time to make you aware of them. You need to know what's happening and what's starting so that you can jump in. And many of you are already in small groups. If that's the case, I just encourage you, ask the Lord, are you in the right one? Are you where you need to be? Give yourself the freedom to ask the Lord, where should you be? With whom should you be gathering? On what day should it be? Everything about our lives should be dedicated to him. And so we want to give you the opportunity to once again revisit the idea of landing in a small group. And there are newly formed ones. I just had lunch this week with Andy, and he talked about one that he's dreaming of getting together. I'll give you more details at the end of the service, but things are happening. I want you to be able to have an opportunity to sort of jump in and see what's going on. So there might be a few you're not aware of. So we're going to let you have some space at the end of the service to go and take a peek. But the broader reason for why this particular sermon at this point in the year is because I sense the Lord inviting us to jump into a few weeks focusing on our core values. They're stated on the back of our bulletin because we want them to be constantly in front of you. And I also just want to say a couple of words about why I think that might be. Why is it that the Lord would have us spend a few weeks in looking at our core values? Because I don't want you to drop off to sleep. I don't want you to be disinterested. And some people hear that and you think, okay, good grief, here we go again. The reason I think it's beneficial is because these, every aspect, worship, prayer, teaching, community, and outreach is dear to the heart of the Lord. They're all commands. They're in some ways activities or outflows of our lives as believers. I think God is passionate about every one of these core values, and I want you to be passionate too. I want you to be moved into action as we look at these core values. And if you're not, then I want you to, be a part of us moving together in order to find some agreement. So that's where I think one invitation for us to go is we need to be united towards some common goals. One of the difficulties about all of us in particular ministries is it's easy for us to get into our ministry or our particular area of service and stay there and not connect it to what the Lord is calling us as a church to do. I'm praying that this few weeks that we spend on our core values will move us all into a greater unity of direction and values and hold together the things that we corporately cherish. So I want small groups to be emphasizing these things. I would love for us to see this kind of passion that would flow through us, that would unite us in the same direction. I think we have some room to grow there. We love the gospel. We want to preach the Jesus. We want people to come into a personal relationship with Jesus. But there are some aspects which bind us all together. And it's good to go back and be refreshed. It's good to look again at the foundation, especially since this is the 20th year that this church has been around. So I hope it will move us to a place of greater unity. I pray that the Lord would use it to stir up your heart again. It might be that some of these things you just don't think about. Maybe you don't think about small groups. Life is busy and you're crazy going here and there and you just don't think about them. Well, I hope this will be an opportunity for you to look at your heart being pulled together again into a small group relationship. Or worship. Are you passionate about worship? I want you to love worship. Do you even know what it is? Do we all think of the same thing? When you hear worship, do we even know what we're all talking about? Or prayer. What does that mean? We pray in Sunday school. There's all kinds of expressions of prayer. Why do we value prayer? Or why do we value outreach? All of these things, I think, is a time for us to be stirred again. And so that's what I'm praying. I'm also praying that, as I mentioned last week, God would really let you dream again on how you might make a difference in your world. It's a little map back there that shows you the touch that we as a body of believers have. And I asked a question last week. I said, how many of you dreamed as a kid that you wanted to make a difference in the world? And about 3/4 of you raised your hand. And then I said, how many of you still retain that dream? And it dropped to about 25% of you. And I'm praying the Lord would stir again to refresh your hearts towards being on a common mission together with us and individually, that you'd get passionate about your love for the Lord, that you'd make a difference in this world and where you work. So that's what I'm shooting for. I'm praying for that too. And lastly, I'm praying that a few weeks on our core values will just bring you joy. That it will be good for you, that the Lord would pour out a blessing upon all of us as we look again at these worship and prayer and teaching and community and outreach. That why do we value those things? If they're commands of the Lord, then I don't believe God's commands are burdensome or arbitrary. I think God blesses his commands and every one of us need to be blessed again. Right? Could you not use a little joy poured into your life? Nobody can. You guys are sad. How many of you? Right? You want some joy in your life? Then pray with. I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I can't do this by myself. I need your prayers. So would you pray, God, move us again. Draw us closer together in agreement. Pour out joy in us as we just spend a couple of weeks on our core values. I'm really serious. Would you please pray that that would happen? because I want to see the Lord do a work in us so that we really make a difference. And joyful people are attractive people, right? You work with joyful people, they're nice to be around. I want you to be one of those people. I want you to be a joyful person that's confidently filled with the hope and peace of Christ because he bought it for you. He secured your hope. Jesus's activity in life and death and resurrection and constantly in intercession for you right now can help you make a difference in this world. So that's what I'm praying for. So let's look back at Galatians. One of the ways through which the Lord works in your life is through small groups. And there are a couple of ways that I just want to share with you real quickly. In small groups, the Lord keeps you humble. He keeps you holy through small groups. And he keeps you helped and loved through small groups. So let's just go through them real quickly. If you look at verse 1 again, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too should be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So the long and short of it is, being a part of a small group is one of the means by which the Lord keeps you holy. Who around you, what's the burden here? The title of the sermon is Bear One Another's Burdens and So Fulfill the Law of Christ. What's the burden? What's the situation that we have bumped into? It's a situation of being tangled up in sin. Somebody's been caught in a transgression. If you're caught, you don't want to be caught. And yet, you are. The truth has now come out. That's the burden that is here in this context that we're to help each other bear. Who gets permission to do that? Is the first question. The second is that a problem? Do you see sin as truly a deeply inherent trouble and problem for your soul? I was just reminded this week, I don't think we do. We do not think about sin like God thinks about sin. Paul is saying here, help each other out of it. He says, you who are spiritual, restore the one who has fallen or who's been tangled up and caught in sin. Meaning there's got to be people around you to come with you to help you stay holy. Do you yearn for holiness? I was reminded this week, I don't yearn for it enough. And I confess, I was praying and asking the Lord to kind of help with, I was disappointed that we ended up the year a little bit in debt. Further in debt than I expected we were, and I was nervous. I'm anxious, and I was praying about it. And as I was praying, Lord, can you please help us out? Will you please walk us through this? Will you deliver us? Will you take care of this need? I was reminded of Matthew 6:33, which says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All of these things will be added to you. And so the first blessing was, the Lord said, Todd, just keep seeking the kingdom. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep pressing on. Keep the kingdom primary. And all the other stuff is going to be added to you. Don't worry. I thought, that's sweet. I don't know if that's from the Lord or not. That's what I received in my quiet time. I'm not pretending to say God spoke to me, but I felt like he blessed my soul. And so, okay, I love the part, all this will be added to you, right? He's going to take care of your material needs. That's the point. But what struck me was, as I kept meditating on that passage, I've got the seek first the kingdom. Okay, that's good. That's easy. But you see the second phrase? Seek first his kingdom and what? There's a conjunction there. And his righteousness. And then everything else is going to be added to you. And I thought, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? Am I seeking his righteousness? I had to sit with that. Am I seeking his righteousness? Are you seeking his righteousness? Do you pursue holiness? That's the invitation. This coming around, bearing one another's burdens, is to keep you from being tangled up in sin. So it's necessary for people to come around you to keep you out of sin. Is that true? Have you experienced that in your life? Just this summer, I was blessed to be able to go back to Kentucky, where I grew up. And I met with about seven guys that I was in my small group. effectively. They were in the small group of my life. And I spent the weekend with them. We went back and had a little retreat up in the hills of the Daniel Boone National Forest. They were my small group. We did everything together. We met through the youth group at church, and we lived together. We shared our lives together. We prayed together. We failed together. We did so many things in our early lives that were formative for my spiritual development. I don't know if you had that gift. I thought everybody had close friends until I got to college and I realized I have like 6 or 7 guys I could call in an instant. And I didn't realize people don't have that kind of deep level of spiritual brothers to come around you. So part of my heart in sharing all of this is I want every one of you to experience that kind of relationship. I want every one of you to have people around you who can keep you holy, because those guys had permission to speak into my life, and they did it. I will never forget getting a letter from one of those guys telling me and describing where I was off the rails spiritually. It ticked me off. But when I sat with it, I thought, he is right. Sin is so deceitful. We can trick ourselves into thinking, it's okay. This is okay. I deserve it. You don't deserve to sin. None of you as people of the Lord, none of you as believers should fall into infatuation with any sin. And it is easy to do so without there's people around you who can say, I think you better watch this. Keep watch here. Every one of us need that. And the word here that restore, Paul says, restore the one who's tangled up in sin. The word's actually, it's a medical term used to correct a broken bone. It means put it right. What's out of place, set it. You may ever broke a bone. Some of your docs, you've done this. Did you set it yourself? Or did you cry out for somebody very quickly to get you to somebody who can help you? Right? We are okay with in getting ourselves involved in people's physical needs. When we're sick, there's a dozen of you who want to bring over some soup to take care of the physical needs. Right? We have people. We let people in there, don't we? It's okay. Yeah, you want to bring a meal over? That's great. You want to bring some hot soup because I'm sick? That's wonderful. How many of you give permission to people to bring some spiritual soup when you're not so good? We don't welcome that very easily, do we? Becoming part of a small group is an invitation to spiritual growth. And it comes by getting close to one another. It comes by you saying, I give you permission to help me love Jesus. I give you permission. If you see I'm in the wrong direction, please tell me. If the bridge is out and I miss the sign, can you please shout at me? My wife is great at this. I always miss turns, and she's helping me figure out where to go. We need help. So here's an invitation. It takes a small group of people to keep us holy. Yes, you can pursue the Lord with all your heart, but I guarantee you'll go further if you've got somebody running alongside of you. Right, Gavin? Gavin has run, and one of the things I love about when he runs is he invites people to run along with him. I volunteered twice and haven't been able to yet. I probably couldn't keep up with him. Even, you know, he runs these 100 milers and I'm volunteering for like 80 beyond because I know I'm going to have to struggle along trying to keep up with him. We need people to come alongside us to keep us going in our walk with the Lord. We need brothers and sisters to come alongside of us to help keep us holy. If we don't, eventually we're going to get tangled up in sin. So small groups, I'm convinced, will help you stay holy. It's not spiritual, a surrogate kind of spirituality. That's not what I'm talking about. Every person has got to bear his own load here at the end of the chapter. You've got to wrestle through things with the Lord on your own. You've got to come to some conclusions about where you are spiritually for yourself. But we can help one another. And I pray you find a spiritual home here to help you grow in the Lord. Because we need help staying holy. So that's the first reason. Secondly, small groups will help keep you humble. Look at verse 2. Keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. Who's this warning for? It's for the people doing the correcting. So it assumes in a small group, you're going to have a relationship that allows you to confront sin. If you don't, if you're in a small group and sin is embraced in your life, you're in the wrong small group and you need to get out. You need people who can say, I gotta watch myself. But the assumption is there's going to be opportunity to confront. Of course, this is done in love, and there are many other scriptures to look to. But here, when you do this, here's the key, how it's done. Be careful, be watchful, don't be arrogant. Paul just said in verse, if you look at Galatians 5:26, let us not become conceited. I think that's what led him to this. That line of thinking, let us not become conceited, led him to then say, because when you confront, if you're conceited, you're going to fall. You're going to trip up. If you think you're immune from whatever temptation your so-and-so brother over here has fallen into, you're wrong. So be careful. Stay humble is the point. And when you have people who know you and who live with you in this kind of corporate sense, who watch you, you can't fake it. We want to be in a small group where you can be yourself, be real, which means you're often going to be corrected. But that's out of love. It's out of love for you that this happens. So be careful and be humble, because you know, spiritual pride is deadly. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God is opposed to the proud, but what? He gives grace to the humble. Where do you want to sit? On the grace receiving side or God being opposed to you side of that equation? I want God pouring out grace to me. I do not want to stand in opposition to the Lord. Small groups can help you stay humble. You can have people who can reflect back to you and say, stay humble here. Watch pride, watch arrogance. It's for ourselves. It's also for those that we love. And lastly, small groups help you stay helped and loved. Bear one another's burdens. Come alongside of each other. When you're moving, who are you going to call? You call your small group. When the baby comes and you are sick in bed and you need some soup, who are you going to call? The people who love you and who you have given permission to call. Those that you know. Who's going to take care of you? Many of you are here and you don't have families. They're scattered all over the country. We're to be a spiritual family to one another. We can help each other. So it's to be helped and it's to be loved. It's to experience the kind of love that Jesus commanded. And I believe that's the part of what he's talking about. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? When Jesus was with his disciples on the very last night, do you remember what he said? He after supper, he did something absolutely astounding and amazing. Jesus now. If you go back and you read John chapter 13, it says, knowing that all authority in heaven and earth had been given to him, he got up from the table and he took off his jacket and he put on a towel and he washed the feet of his disciples. The king of the universe got down on his knees and he washed the feet of the disciples. And here's what he said. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I see two aims in this. Number one, so you can experience the love of God. Small groups are intended for you to be the personal recipient of tangible love, because we struggle, don't we? Where's Jesus? I can't grab a hold of him, right? If you have little kids, I want to pray to Jesus. I can't hear him. I can't talk to him. Where's his voice? Well, he's right here if he's in your small group. The Spirit of God indwells his people. So when you need a hug from Jesus, what do? You go to his people. When you need physical support, he's there. What did he say? If you have done it to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to who? Me. How we treat one another is incredibly a means by which we receive the love of Jesus. And secondly, it gets the attention of the watching world. When your small group takes care of you and you tell them at work, I had a small group. they brought meals over every other night for 2.5 weeks when I was recovering from the hospital. And you have people at work to say, really? Can I join your small group? I feel a sickness coming on, right? People are going to want to be a part of that love. People watch and they see. Small group is a living testimony of the gospel. It's one way to be a visible expression of our commands to love one another. As Jesus said, as I have loved you. Who are you going to serve when you need to serve people? An expression of the love of Jesus. So it's an invitation to receive the love of Christ. An invitation to a small group is an invitation to invite others into your life to help you stay holy. It's an invitation for others to keep you humble. Because I guarantee, I'm convinced, maybe I'm wrong, but I think one of the deepest struggles for all of us is pride. We love people to praise us. We love people to think highly of us. We love to be thought of as well and attractive and strong and influential and special. Yet Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. And if you've got people with whom you're in regular fellowship, they can help you figure out when that's gone off base. So they can keep you humble. And they can help you simply with life, help you get through life, help share the difficulties that are overwhelming to you. If you're overwhelmed as a person, let me ask you, do you have people around you who you can go to and say, can you please pray for me? Yes, we come together as a body here in this building as we gather on the week and we help one another. But throughout the week, who do you bump into? The church is you. It's us. So if we want to be a minister to one another, we've got to be in some kind of formation that allows us to stay close to one another. Small group happens. We help each other and we get loved that way. So and to finish it all off, I think it's God's will that you be in a small group. It might not be any of those at that back there, but somewhere in your spiritual life, you need a group of people around you to help you walk this life as a believer, to keep you persevering in your faith, to keep you from getting tangled up in the world, to be the love of Christ to you. I think it's God's will. You know, Jesus was in a small group. He had about 12 guys in his small group, right? He was a small group leader, but he was a part of a small group. I say that facetiously, but I'm serious. Please think about it. I'm not giving you a command. I'm giving you an invitation to be loved in ways that you may have never been loved before. If we don't have a small group that meets your needs, please come talk to me or Ian, and we'll figure out how to start one. If you look at all of those and you say, there's nothing that connects with me, then let's dream. Let's dream together. And Andy has shared a vision of maybe getting together a small group. This is not at the table. That's why I'm telling you about pulling a small group together that would meet with professionals who are needing somebody to come alongside them in the workplace. And that's what Andy's heart is. He wants to come alongside of you who are wrestling with difficulties in the workplace and maybe meet once a month or so. So we don't have a time set up for any of this. We're just pulling this together. But if that would be something that you might be interested in, go see Andy afterwards. Andy, can you just raise your hand and see if you can talk about the details with Andy, but I just point you to him to see if that might be a way to jump in. So let's close in a word of prayer, but my invitation to you is, will you think about it? Will you consider? Will you look for a means by which you can get into a small group on a regular basis? So go and visit the table in just a minute. Go look at them. There's going to be small group leaders or representatives from each of these groups back at those tables who can help you answer your questions. So let's pray together. Father, we know through Scripture that you have brought together a body of believers. We're individuals, and yet you have pulled us into a kind of connectedness so that we can be blessed by the presence of one another. And Lord, I'm convinced it is a means of grace that you want each of your people to enjoy is a fellowship of other believers. And Lord, I pray that you would move our hearts accordingly. If we there are those of us here who don't have a small group, please let today be a day that that would be explored, and let there be an open door of opportunity that would be found. And Jesus, we just pray that you would grow our hearts, that you would keep us from sin, that you would keep us humble, that you would keep us helped and loved by being a part of these groups. So pour out your Spirit upon us as we move. And Lord, we thank you most of all for making all of this possible. It's in Jesus' name, amen.